All right. Thank you, John. Thank you, Rosalind. Appreciate that. All right. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, and go to the Gospel of Luke, Luke's Gospel tonight. And that we're going to be tonight, if you will, in chapter 9, Luke chapter 9. You know, it's been interesting to watch. I don't know about you, if you're paying any attention to it or not, but right now we have leaders in America that are on negotiating teams trying to meet with Ukraine and meet with Russia. And with all the ideas of trying to get that to come to a head, that under President Trump's leadership now, they're saying that enough is enough. There's been enough of our young men and soldiers and that have been killed in the war. So they're trying to compromise, finding out what Ukraine wants to do and find out what Russia wants to accomplish. And they really believe that here pretty soon we're going to be able to come together and get that resolved. And so when a compromise usually means you got to give something up in order to receive something. And same thing is true that we found down in with Hamas there in Gaza and in Israel, the same thing. Our leadership team from America has gone into Israel and gone in with Hamas, and they've tried to reach, and they did get an agreement. And then the agreement was that they were to release the hostages, and they would have a ceasefire, but on this last time, they would not. Hamas would not release all the hostages. So I see now this week it is back to a full air support in Israel in the Gaza Strip, and they've told the Palestinians to move, and they've also began to move more ground troops into that area, and because the compromise was violated. So when you look at it in a world of politics or in a world that we live in, sometimes compromise can be a good thing, especially if it can bring a war to a close. But from a biblical standpoint, if you're especially based on biblical values and your beliefs in Scripture, sometimes there becomes dangers in compromise. Let me show you what Jesus taught here tonight, and that it's interesting that when you look what he began to teach here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 57, that we know compromise is defined as a settlement of a dispute that is reached by each side making concessions, and that. So in our lives as Christians, many times the devil will try to get you and I to compromise. We'll gotta give up something and back and forth if you wanna be influenced by whatever he has to offer. Here's how Jesus put, and I think it's really put here in the Scripture as a test of our discipleship. It says in verse 57, it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I like this now. He says, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That's pretty straightforward. And Lord, I'll follow you wherever you lead me. And then Jesus said unto him this, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first. Now here begins the excuses. Here becomes the compromise. Here becomes the negotiation. Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus saith unto him, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus saith unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So when you look here in this text of Scripture, it's interesting in Luke 9 and verse 57, this certain man told the Lord that he would follow him wherever he would go. And then from this, a lot of things began to show up. And he says here, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus simply told him that, what to come and follow me. Don't make excuses, don't compromise, just come and follow me. Now the excuses are given here, or the compromises are made in verse 59. And it's interesting as you listen to the compromises. Verse 59, he said, Lord, I will follow you, but allow me first to go and bury my father. Here's what you don't really see or what you need to be aware of. And that was a common phrase because his father was, in verse 59, was really not dead. What it meant here, he wanted to wait until he received his inheritance, until it was a more convenient time to come and follow Christ. You know, there never will be a more convenient time if you're called to follow the Lord. We just need to follow him and be faithful to him and be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same in verse 61, he said, Lord, here, what did he say? I will follow you, but, interesting, first, let me go first to my home and then bid them farewell that are at my house. Here's how Jesus responded. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. When you make a decision that you're going to follow Christ, you need to be all in and not compromise and not say to the Lord, let me go do this first and let me take care of this first and then I'll come and serve you. And no, he's saying here and that be careful where you're at, because it's so easy to compromise the commitment. And many will tell the Lord, I will follow you, but I have to do this first. I will follow you, but I need to take care of this first. I will follow you, but whatever. And they make some other excuse or some other compromise. So Luke chapter 9 really gives us some insight here to the unfolding of the events in the life of the Lord Jesus. He started out in the early part of the chapter, sending forth them to preach. And then feeding the 5,000, Peter confesses Christ here is the Son of God, and Jesus even begins to warn and to tell of his death, the burial, and the resurrection. So a lot of things when you look in the Scripture of how you need to be careful about compromise. Let me give you the first one I want to go back to tonight, Genesis chapter 13. And if you go back to Genesis 13 in the text, we can see, be careful what you compromise for. And there are many in the Bible that compromised, and then it cost them dearly. And we find the first one found right here in Genesis chapter 13. This is Abraham returning to the land and the altar. And this is where Abraham now begins to separate. Their families had grown so large. Their inheritance, all that they had was so large. Look in verse 5. Says here, and Lot also, which went with Abram, or Abraham here, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Notice this now in verse 7. This ought to be an indicator here. He says, there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife. I like that in the Scripture. It's like Abraham here, the peacemaker. And he said, I pray thee, Lot, we're relatives here, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? He says here, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. And here began Lot's compromise in verse 10. The Bible says in verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. That was Lot's first step. And that was really the lust of the eye and that. But notice the second step in his falling away. The Bible says in verse 12, verse 13, and then Abraham here dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, pitched his tent towards Sodom. And but the men were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Be careful where you pitch your tent. Be careful where you look to. Be careful where you go. And the first example here given in the Scripture of the compromise was given with Lot. Now, Lot here in the Bible was a saved man. Let me show you something. Go over to in the New Testament to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. And when you think about Lot here, Lot's compromise came through the lust of the eye. You know, you can take it in Scripture and man falling into sin, all sin, whether it be in the days of Adam and Eve or whether it be today, all sin comes through one of three things: the pride of life, the lust of the eye, or the lust of the flesh. You can narrow it down usually to those three. Here in Lot's case, it came through the lust of the eye. We just read that in Genesis 13. So Lot's compromise also came through in verse 12 and verse 13 there, the lust of the flesh. So Lot here had two of the things that he lusted after, looked after, and then pitched his tent in the wrong direction. It says in 2 Peter chapter 2, and let me get over there if you will, 2 Peter 2, you get down to verse 7. 2 Peter 2 and verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So here we find Lot is called a just man, or a just Lot. He was righteous. He was a righteous man. Here's a biblical example of a saved person, a righteous man, that made an unrighteous decision, made a wrong decision. My, how many times do we see Christians will do that? They're trying to live for the Lord, trying to do the right thing, trying to live for Him, but then they'll make a carnal choice along the way and compromise their faith, and that'll get them off track one direction or another. So don't make those carnal choices. Be careful. And we see the Lot, the choice that Lot made here, and that, if you go back to go back to Genesis 19. We were in Genesis 13, but if you go to Genesis 19, that really what Lot did, he sold out for the world. I think a lot of Christians do that today. They say, Lord, I'll live for you, I'll follow you, and you'll be first in my life, and then they do something carnally stupid, and they pitch their tent in the wrong direction, and they make the wrong choice, and it leads them down the wrong path. And Lot did exactly that. When you look in Genesis chapter 19, said, and there came two angels of Sodom at even. In chapter 19, verse 1, Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. He bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night. Wash your feet, shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Anyway, you read on down through that chapter, and you see there that Lot sold out, pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah, basically saying that he made carnal choices being a Christian, and the last step in his backsliding came here, if you will, in Genesis chapter 19. Look at it in verse 33. The last step in Lot's backsliding. It said, and notice here, it says, and they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in, lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also. Go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose, lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. And thus were both the daughters of Lot. Notice this now. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. And the same is the father of the Moabites today. They became the enemy of Israel, the Moabites. And here's where Moab come from. And the younger, she also bare a son, called his name Benami. And the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. So there you have the Moabites, and there you have the Ammonites, the two that came from a carnal relationship between Lot's two daughters and Lot in a drunken stupor, and made carnal decisions. Pitched his tent towards Sodom, did things that were unwise and foolish, compromised his convictions, compromised his life, and therefore led to this great downfall and a backsliding slide here. So Lot's compromise, I would sum it all up in that he sold out for the world. Lot sold out for the world is what he did. Go to the book of Judges in chapter 16. And let me show you, I think, another good Bible example here and of that of compromise in the Scripture. Obviously, you'd have to look at Samson. And you get to Judges chapter 16. Samson is another one that compromised. Now, Samson, during Samson's day, was a judge in Israel. And there were really 13 judges that were raised up to deliver Israel. And it was through those judges that God continued to govern the nation of Israel. Samson's compromise is he compromised his separated position for a woman by the name of Delilah. And let's begin reading here in Judges chapter 16 and verse 4. It says, "And it came to pass afterward that he, Samson now, loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, and that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. And now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when he toucheth the fire, so his strength was not known. Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. So Delilah here, therefore, took new ropes, bound him therewith, said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies, and tell me therewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. She fastened it with the pen, said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He awakened out of his sleep, went away with the pen of the beam and with the web, and she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thy heart is not with me? Now be careful, because now's where he compromises. Says, Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherewith in thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. And he said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came upon her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man. She caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep. And he said, I will go out as other times before, shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He compromised. And Lot compromised, but here we find that Samson compromised. By that meeting that he compromised, he was living, here Samson was living under a Nazarite vow to God. His strength was, at that time, was in his long hair. And a Nazarite vow that he'd given to the Lord. But he loved Delilah. And you notice here in verse 7, the first attempt to compromise with Samson. Then in verse 11, the second attempt here. And then also in verse 13, then the third attempt, 3 attempts. You ever notice how persistent Satan is? Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 4? It says there that he was taken out into the wilderness and tempted of the devil. And the Bible says there that 3 times. Remember Satan came once? And Jesus denied him. Satan came again, and Jesus denied him. Satan came again, and Jesus denied him. And in Jesus' case, he succeeded, and he would not compromise and bow down to what Satan had to offer. But here, Samson, Satan came 3 times, and he compromised that which he knew was right. So what does he do? He tells her all his heart and compromises his commitment to God. And as a result, they put out his eyes. He was grinding in the prison house, but his hair began to grow again. And the Bible says he's listed over in Hebrews chapter 11 as one of the great heroes of the faith. Take your Bible and go to 1 Kings chapter 11. Probably one of the all-time great and favorites in the Bible would have to be the promise of Solomon and the commitment of Solomon. Probably there never has been a greater than Solomon all during these years. You talk about the wealth and that in the land. Probably nobody in the Bible, if you added up today the wealth of Solomon, he'd be wealthier than anybody else in the world. You know, they talk about Elon Musk today and the wealth that he has, and he has because of the stock and the investments, that which he has in Tesla and SpaceX and the other companies that he's founded, and he's a very wealthy man. Well, in Bible days, Solomon was the wealthy of it. And I find it interesting here that all David ever wanted to do was really build a house for God and that he could worship in, and David was not able to do that because there was blood on his hand. He fought with the Philistines, and because of the blood that was on David's hands, David, I think, really acquired, got everything ready, and that, but was not allowed to build the temple and a house for God. But Solomon was, and so Solomon built the temple, but Solomon went down in the Bible. I think it's one of the greatest tragedies in all the Bible, and that to see his fall. And here's what it is. Solomon's heart turns away from Jehovah. If you compromise your biblical beliefs and you compromise that which you believe so strongly in, it'll lead you to a downfall. Look at what happened to Solomon here in 1 Kings chapter 11. But King Solomon, he loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites. Remember, we just read about the Moabites, the one that one of Lot's daughters that had a relationship with Lot and had a son by the name of Moab. Well, now here it is. Every time you see the Moabites and right behind it the Ammonites, that all come from Lot's family, side of the family, the Edomites, the Zidians, and the Hittites. Now notice there in this, Solomon loved many strange women. It led to his downfall, verse 2. And of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them. God told Solomon, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods, and Solomon clave unto these in love. Solomon was warned. Solomon was warned not to compromise, not to give in, not to... Solomon, if you do, they'll steal your heart away, and it'll pull you away from God. Compromise. The dangers of compromise. Now, notice here in verse 3. He had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives, here it is now, his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Well, it's true, David committed adultery and David committed murder, but David had a heart for God and that, and always went after the Lord. Here, Solomon was giving his heart away to these women that had and served other gods and followed evil. And look in verse 6. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he went not fully after the Lord. And then did Solomon build a high place in Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, and the abomination of the children of Ammon, and likewise did he for all his strange wives, and which burnt incense and sacrifice unto their God. Now, if you're going to do all that, and you're God's servant, and you're God's choices of servant, you're the king of Israel, God gets angry at compromise. Look what happens here. In verse 9, the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in the days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend it all the way, away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon. Now think about that for a moment. God brings about his sovereign plan. And here it brings about God's anger upon Solomon for the choices that he made. It says, the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was the king's seed in Edom. And it came to pass when David was in Edom, Joab, the captain of the host, was going up to bury the slain. After he had smitten every male in Edom for 6 months, did Joab remain there with all Israel until he had cut off every male in Edom. Then Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites of his father's servant, with him to go into Egypt, and Hadad being yet a little child. So when you read down through here, it really gives eventually to the rise of Jeroboam, and then the kingdom now splits and divides. And now you see the greatest kingdom in the world under Saul and under David and under Solomon now falls apart. Why? Compromise. Because they compromised. Because Solomon compromised here. And notice, if you will, verse 41, end of that chapter. It says there, and the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that he did, his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem all over all Israel was 40 years. And Solomon slept, meaning died, with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. So here you go on to see the rise of Jeroboam. You see in chapter 12 then Rehoboam, and you see the kingdom now, and it begins to divide here, the division of the kingdom. So compromise led to that very thing in the kingdom and the ruin of a man as great as Solomon. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Again and again you see through the Bible those that compromised and the dangers of compromise. And here it was under King Asa. And Asa was the king of Judah and became unequally yoked with the king of Syria. Now it's interesting here. What's the old saying? Birds of a feather flock together. I think it's always kind of interesting to see in our world today how presidents or kings or leaders or princes or whatever are drawn and are connected. And boy, I'll tell you what. Right now, like for example, America, we have a lot of allies around the world. And one thing that's interesting about President Trump, he is willing to talk to at least the enemies of America, for one, to get this Ukraine-Russia war stopped, but he's not afraid to talk to those in North Korea or those in Iran or those wherever, and to talk to your enemies to be able to understand and to show that we can have peace through strength. I think you've already seen a lot of changes happen in the last 90 days. I think you're going to see a lot more changes coming down the road here. But here was Asa's problem. He became unequally yoked with the king of Syria instead of trusting the Lord. And look at it here, if you will, in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And this was really the war that went on here. It said, in the 6th and 30th year reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah, built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold of the treasure of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, dwelt among Damascus, saying, there is a league, notice this now, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go and break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And then Ben-Hadad hearkened unto the king Asa, and sent to the captains of the armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan and Abelmaim and all the store cities in Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha here heard it that he left off building of Ramah and his let his work cease. And then Asa the king took all Judah. They carried away the stones of Ramah, the timber thereof, and whereof Baasha was building, and he built there with Geba and Mizpah. Point is, when you look here in this, that Asa, King Asa was rebuked by Hananiah here, and he would not repent, and eventually he died in verse 12 and verse 13 out of fellowship with God. Look at it in verse 12, verse 13. And Asa in the 39th year of reign of was diseased in his feet. Until his disease was exceeding great, and yet his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept. In other words, Asa died with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. So when you look at it here, Jehoshaphat, or here really King Asa here in this, and that the compromise was that King Asa sought not the Lord, but he sought the physicians. And I don't know about you, but one of the things I think we need to pray for is that common sense, and that I've heard President Trump say things like, God kept him alive for a certain time as this. We'll see where all this goes. We'll see how the next 3-4 years unfolds. We'll see what happens here and how much of the ship can get righted. But there is so much going on in our country right now. I just pray that God can be at the center of the focus, and that which is right and godly. We have a chance. I really think there's a short window of time here to try to right the ship in so many areas of American life. And one wrong move in the wrong direction could lead us back down that slippery path of compromise and that. I really believe why we're in the position that we're in, we've moved away from God, and we've taken God out of everything, and the public school system, and out of society, and the way that our whole society has moved, and basically done the same thing that got these folks into trouble back in that day. Let me give you another one. Go to 2 Chronicles there, chapter 18. And this will be the fourth compromise here that I want you to see in the Bible tonight, and that is of Jehoshaphat. Now, when you look at it here, the Jehoshaphat had an alliance with Ahab. So when you open up this chapter here, it says, now Jehoshaphat here had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Ahab was one of the most wicked, vile, corrupt kings in the land. It says, and after years he went down to Ahab to Samaria. Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance. For the people that he had with him persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? He answered him, I am as thou art, and my people is as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. It's interesting, if war broke out, who would your allies be? If war broke out, it's interesting. And I heard somebody say in the negotiations with Gaza and some of the chief negotiators that are negotiating over in Gaza and with Hamas and with Israel and that America will always support Israel. I pray that does not change. And in there, and that is compromise is not let go of, because here we find in Jehoshaphat's case, he made the wrong alliance. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Look at it in chapter 17 and verse 3. It said, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the ways of his father David, and he sought not unto Balaam. So Jehoshaphat here was with the Lord. Jehoshaphat in verse 4 sought the Lord. He said, but sought the Lord God of his father, walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. So we find here, though, the compromise was with Ahab. Here in verse 6, Jehoshaphat's heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Look at it, said, and Jehoshaphat here, and it really brought about a revival in the land. It says, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places, the groves out of Judah. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent princes even to Ben-Hail, to Obadiah, to Zechariah, and to Nathaniel, and to Micaiah, and to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, and even Shemaiah, and Nethaniah, and Zadaniah, and Ashel, and Semeroth, Amoth, and Jehonathan, and Adonijah, and Tobijah? And, well, these words, Tobad, Onijah, the Levites, and with them Elishama and Jerem the priest. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went out throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. You could look at these verses here and say Jehoshaphat
was a godly man and that, but his downfall, his compromise was he partnered with the wrong king. He partnered with Ahab. You know what would be a wrong thing? It would be a wrong thing, I think, in the world we live in, for our president to partner with Putin, to partner with the Ayatollah in Iran, to partner with North Korea, to partner with the enemy, Syria. Now, I know there's been a big change in Syria, and to be careful. Should you talk to your enemy? Absolutely. Will there be changes? I hope so, and I hope the war. You know, if you really think about it, there have been so many young Ukrainians. Our missionary, Sean Sullivan, just got home from Ukraine, and he said the devastation is unbelievable. So many young Ukrainians have died over there, and a war that President Trump says should never have happened, would not have happened under his leadership, but did happen, and now it's been going on 3 years. It's time to bring it to a halt. It's time to end. But there becomes a danger. Keep your eye on it, because here the danger became, the compromise became, is when Jehoshaphat compromised with Ahab. And as a result, it's interesting here, Jehoshaphat led Israel to a great revival. Revival comes when people repent of their sin, and the Word of God has free reign to be able to handle. The compromise, though, Jehoshaphat compromises with the king. And the prophet says here, notice in chapter 19, go over to chapter 19 and verse 3. Says here, verse 1, Jehoshaphat the king of Judah returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem, and Jehu the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king, Jehoshaphat here, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is the wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Now think about that sentence, what he just said right there. Shouldest thou help the ungodly, love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is the wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and has prepared thy heart to seek God. But Jehoshaphat here made an alliance with the king of Israel. And we find here the prophet here, shouldest thou help the ungodly, love them that hate thee? Therefore is the wrath upon thee. And verse 3, therefore he says, prepare thy heart to seek God. So many have compromised, and Lot compromised for pitching his tent to the ways of the world. Samson compromised his separated position, really his sanctification, for a woman that he sold everything out to, Delilah. Solomon compromised, and his wives turned him away from God, and God had warned him time and again and time and again, warned him that these will turn your heart away from the Lord. King Asa here compromised by not seeking the Lord, but then turned to physicians instead of turning to God. And Jehoshaphat here, king of Judah, compromised by becoming, the Bible says, unequally yoked. He yoked himself with a wicked, corrupt king like King Ahab here, the king of Israel. So in that, when you look by definition of what it means in Luke chapter 9, don't compromise with evil. Walk only in the paths of the Lord. Let me show you something. Go to Psalm 119. Let me give you these verses in Psalm 119. Don't compromise. Don't become defiled. Don't let your guard down. You get to Psalm 119. Says in verse 1, notice this in verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity, and they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all the commandments. I will praise thee with thy uprightness of heart. And when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. In other words, do not compromise. Psalm 119. Colossians 2 also tells us, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You see again, Bible example after Bible example after Bible example after Bible example of those that compromised their principles. Hebrews 3, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. God is serious about our not compromising his word and with the values of the world, and the reason being that those outside of Christ may then come to their senses, escape the snare of the devil. So don't compromise your biblical. How do you compromise the Word of God? I'm glad you asked. Let me show you this, and we'll close with this tonight. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. So how do we compromise the Word of God? 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. So for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So Paul warns about it here. When we place our desires and that of others ahead of the Word of God, whatever you put ahead of the Word of God, you then take a chance of compromising your principles, your values, your belief system, and what you stand for. The dangers of compromise. Be careful and don't compromise. Stand true and faithful and loyal to the Word of God, and you will be richly rewarded for that in your belief. Heavenly Father, God, tonight we thank you for the Word of God. Father, thank you for the examples in Scripture helping us to see in the Bible those that compromised certain things along the way and what that led to in their life. So God, help us to always be faithful to you. Help us to always prioritize and always put the Word of God first. Help us to live godly and in Christ Jesus. Help us to also look around the world that we live in today and realize it's important to stand firm and true to our values, our principles, and the Word of God that guides every step that we take, every word that we speak. God, may we seek your will in all things and realize today we need to be aware of the dangers that are lurking out there, the dangers of compromise. Help us to be faithful and loyal to you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.